Now's the time to travel and be with the people you care about the most. And at Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express, we're helping you be there for less. Save at least 25% at thousands of hotels worldwide if you book by September 24th. You won't want this moment to pass you by. So book today at holidayinn.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Ultimate Podcast. My name is Chris McGlynn, host of the show. I feel like it's been a little while now since I've done an episode, so I'm happy to be back. Got a lot to talk about. There's tons of club action going on right now. We just had Select Flight Invite Eastern Edition wrap up this past weekend, and we were heading into a massive weekend of club action, so we'll be talking about all of that. AUDL Championship Weekend is officially set. The four teams that are competing are already now announced, and we know who they will be, so we'll be breaking down a little bit of the matchups that we'll see during the weekend and what I expect to see. And then, of course, the U24 World Championships wrapped up just over a week ago now. The U.S. took home three gold medals. It was a gold medal sweep. So congratulations to all of those involved. We'll actually be talking to one of those gold medal winners, Ann Worth, a member of the U24 American Mixed Team. So that'll be coming up in just a little bit. Ann's also a part of UNC Pleiades in the college division. Also plays on Raleigh Phoenix in the women's club division. And then, of course, the Raleigh Radiant in the Premier Ultimate League. She was named the Breakout Player of the Year not that long ago. So we'll be talking to her in just a little bit. Got a ton of great stuff to be breaking down with her. So make sure you stick around for that. Let's dive into the club division, though. The Select Flight Invite, first time that we're seeing USA Ultimate split the two Select Flight Invites. In the past, they had just done one Select Flight Invite with not a ton of teams really attending it. This time around, they actually did a West version and an East version. So the West version happened back when Pro Elite took place out in Colorado. I believe it was actually at the same field site. So I think a nice little wrinkle that the USA Ultimate threw into the Triple Crown Tour events for this year. The Select Flight East tournament just took place in Columbus, Ohio this past weekend. So looking at high-level stuff, a lot of upsets across the board. We saw a couple of teams that maybe we didn't really expect to see make it to the finals. So in the men's division, it was actually an all-Canadian final. We had Furious George topping GOAT. Not really a surprise there to see those two teams. Definitely a little bit of a surprise down the board from there. General Strike picking up a couple of big wins from Winnipeg. Really a great weekend in the men's division for Canadian club teams. So definitely something to keep an eye on going forward. GOAT seems like they're definitely trending towards earning a bid after not doing so for the last couple of years. Now, the women's division, we saw Rival. They outlasted Underground on its home turf, winning at home. This was, like I said, played in Columbus, Ohio, and a good weekend for Columbus teams because the Columbus Cocktails also won in the mixed division. They avenged a pool play loss to Chalice. Definitely a bit of a wacky weekend in the mixed division, but in the end, the one seed coming out on top in all three divisions. So congratulations to those three teams. These are big tournaments in terms of earning bids when it comes down to the end of the year. These results matter. So the bid picture starting to come together. We'll get a lot more of a sense for what to expect with this upcoming weekend because we got the U.S. Open, which is going to be a massive tournament. We've got a lot of top teams there. That'll help shake out the top part of the bid picture in a lot of ways. We also got a number of international teams coming in, which is always a lot of fun to see. And then, of course, heavyweights taking place out in Illinois, CBR taking place up in Washington, and then Philadelphia Open as well. So there's going to be tons of club teams in action this weekend. Lots of club stuff going on. So make sure you can always check out a lot of this on the USA Ultimate app. I highly recommend getting it if you don't have it already. So definitely a good place to go to. And of course, Ultimate Twitter will keep you updated throughout the course of the weekend. Check out as well, Ulti World and USA Ultimate will be streaming tons of games from the US Open and YCCs, which is happening the same tournament, same time frame as the US Open this upcoming weekend. Lots of great games going to be filmed and streamed, so keep an eye out for all of that. It's one of the best weekends of the year for Ultimate, and actually we're going to have one game, I believe this year it's going to be the men's US Open final played on ESPN2. So make sure you keep an eye out for that. It'll actually be on network television, which is very exciting. Really big thing for Ultimate. They've done it with the women's division and the mixed division in the past 2 years, so they're just rotating through now. It's the men's turn to take that top flight billing and be on ESPN2. Everything else from semifinals on for the U.S. Open will be on ESPN3, so their online streaming services. So there's going to be tons of great Ultimate to watch this weekend. Make sure you're set to check it all out. And then, of course, we've actually got a club event going on tonight, and this is a pretty cool one. They're calling it the Minnesota International Showcase, which is pretty neat. What's going to end up happening is they have the Windchill from the AUDL playing against the Buzz Bullets from Japan, one of the top men's teams in the world. And then after that, we're going to get a North Central All-Star team, which is, I think, going to be pretty interesting to see how that shapes up. I don't really know if there's a roster available for it yet, but there's some good talent up in the North Central. And they will be facing off with UNO from Japan and then Revolution from Colombia. So three great games, all of them being streamed on Ulti World tonight. Definitely worth checking out. The first one, I believe, is at 7:30 Eastern time. Hopefully I have this out before that actually starts. But if not, it's going to be rolling through the entire night. I think the last game doesn't start until 10 p.m. Eastern time. So definitely going to be a big night of Ultimate and a nice precursor to the upcoming weekend that we have in the club division. So that about does it club-wise. There's going to be a lot more to talk about in the coming weeks. Pro championships at the end of August, beginning of September, and the bid picture coming together. And before you know it, we'll be talking about regionals action and getting ready for the series to start. So very excited for all of that to come our way. But first, let's talk about the AUDL. The AUDL now has its final four set for the 8th edition of Championship Weekend. The matchups are New York versus Indianapolis and Dallas versus San Diego. I'm really looking forward to seeing these four teams match up. I think San Diego is an interesting one. We haven't seen them play against anybody outside the West Division this year, where they were very successful and look convincing winning the West Division championship game. Dallas, of course, they've got tons of experience. They've been here before. Ended up in the final a year ago, only to fall short to Madison. Indy, first time that Indy is back at championship weekend, in that mix, actually, since the first ever AUDL championship weekend, which I believe was just the final, the AUDL final between the Philadelphia Spinners and the Indianapolis Alley Cats. So excited to see how Indy does. They do have a tough task at hand. They have to play against the New York Empire, who have not lost all season long and looked very sharp in their win over Toronto in the East Division final. So, but overall, it's going to be a great weekend. That's not going to be this weekend. I believe it's the following one. So we're still a week away, a little over a week away from AUDL championship weekend. But some great games there. Much like what we saw with the PUL earlier this year, I expect this to be a great showcase of some high-level Ultimate talent. So definitely worth checking out. Let's now move into talking about showcasing high-level Ultimate talent. The future of the sport, the U24 tournament, wrapped up from Heidelberg, Germany. Once again, the expectation was for the U.S. to win gold in all three divisions. They did not disappoint. Let's first look at the women's team. They looked really sharp throughout. Their closest game was actually 15-12. They did it twice, both in the quarters and the semis. They managed to beat Japan 15-9. They ended up outlasting them there and taking home another gold medal. Not surprising, we saw the trio that ran Dartmouth for so much of the last couple of years, Angela Zhu, Claire Trope, and Caitlin Lee, dominate throughout the course of this entire tournament. They put up huge numbers offensively, and I think the big surprise throughout the course of the weekend, and maybe not to people who have been following her for a while, was actually Samaya Ismail from Western Washington. She was a great player for this team, really showed out and showcased her throwing ability, looked like a key cog of this United States offense. So really, really exciting. This is one of the fun things about the U.S. Worlds team, is you know a lot of these players, but sometimes it's different when you get a chance to surround them with all this additional talent, and you really get a chance to see what they are capable of, and that's a great example of what we saw with Ismail throughout the course of this tournament. The men's team, they defeated Canada in the final, beating them 15-12. Mac Heck and Tanner Johnson, not really a surprise, but those two dominated throughout the course of the tournament. They really put up massive numbers. They really looked great on offense. And I'm basing a lot of this, unfortunately, on just offense because WhiffDiff does not track defensive stats during these types of tournaments, so I don't really have any good reference point. I watched a few of the games, but I can't speak to everything that happened throughout the course of the tournament. The nice surprise here for this U.S. team was Chance Cochran, who plays with Truck Stop and also just graduated from Georgetown. So he had a great tournament, ended up being one of their top goal scorers throughout the course of the week. Really just an overall a dominating performance from this men's team throughout. They look good, and I think it was never really in doubt, but the Canadian team has beaten a lot of these players on these U.S. team before. Go back to 2014, I believe it was, in the U20 division. Canada won that gold medal. So this was, I think, a bit of revenge for a lot of those players to get a chance to play Canada and then avenge that game that they lost 4 years ago, or 5 years ago now. For the mixed team, they held off Japan as well. 15-12, Joe White and Maku Johannes just blew people away, and I think it was expected to see Maku Johannes do this. He did this a lot throughout the course of both his college career, and then the last time that we saw the U24 team take the field, he was one of the top players on that mixed team. Joe White's a little bit surprising. As far as I'm aware, he doesn't really have too much experience playing in the mixed division, but super talented player coming from Carleton, so really nice to see him show up. And then, of course, Anne Worth had a great tournament, scored 10 goals, had 6 assists, so she was one of the best offensive players that we saw of any team at this tournament, so very exciting to see how she performed. And, of course, her college teammate Mary Rippey stepped up as well with 10 goals during the week, so shout out to Mary for showing up and playing absolutely lights out on offense. So really, really great to see it. It was really fun to watch this mixed team play. I think this is always pretty interesting because it's sometimes a lot of players that maybe you haven't heard of quite as much, and definitely was a great opportunity to see all this showcase in the field, and they really took it to a lot of the competition they faced. They did get pressed once. They, against Canada in power pools, they got pushed to universe point. And we'll talk to Anne about that a little bit because, talk about the pressure that she faces when she steps on the field for Team USA. But they managed to overcome that, win that game, and then ended up going on to win the tournament as well. So Team USA combined 31-0 throughout the course of this tournament, which is absolutely outrageous. So congratulations to all the athletes involved with this U24 team, to the coaches as well, because it's not an easy task to take all these players and all this talent and somehow get it together for them to then perform out on that field. So big shout out to everyone involved, and thanks for making the United States proud, winning yet 3 more gold medals at the U24 level. With that, we're going to now turn our attention to talking to Anne Worth about what her experience was out in Heidelberg, as well as a number of the other things. She's had a crazy 2 months of Ultimate, so make sure you stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up in just a sec. Welcome back, everyone. I'm joined now by Anne Worth of UNC Pleiades, the U24 mixed national team, and of course, a member of the Raleigh Radiants as well. Anne, thank you very much for joining me.
Hey, I'm so glad to be on.
Yeah, really exciting. You have had a crazy 2 month stretch of Ultimate, going from college championships to then playing in the PUL finals at championship weekend, and then winning a gold medal at U24 Worlds. And now you're all of a sudden getting ready for med school. So this has been a wild couple of months for you.
Yeah, it's been pretty busy. Lots of frisbee.
Going back, actually, I'm curious to know, you've obviously thrown yourself into this sport, and it's clear that you love it, and that's fair. Like, everybody at this point, if you're doing as much as you are, it's no secret that you love it. But I'm curious, how did you find the sport in the first place?
So I actually didn't start playing frisbee seriously until my freshman year of college. But I had played a little bit of kind of casual pickup, like 15 on 15, no force, could only throw backhands, that type of frisbee in high school with my cross country team. But I knew when I went to college that I wanted to do a sport. I wanted to have a team, and I was pretty tired of running. So I decided to come out to Ultimate tryouts. And from the first tryout, from the first like learn to play session, I could tell that these were my people. Like, more than the sport, it was the people leading the tryouts that I just immediately looked up to, and like knew I wanted to be like them. And yeah, I was hooked. I was hooked really quickly.
Oh, and that's a funny thing that you say. A lot of people come from cross country and have that, as you say, 15 out of 15 backhand only experience in high school. I feel like that's a common starting point for sure. And it's funny that you mentioned like already that you just jumped in with the culture of the team, and there were players that you immediately gravitated towards, not because of their playing style or anything to do with the sport, but more just the personalities and the fit that you felt. Just from like a social perspective, I think that's pretty interesting. And UNC certainly had that. I mean, you guys still do. You guys had a great season this past year, made a run at the semifinals. And this was, I think, a very fun team to watch, one that you didn't really know who the playmaker was going to be. It felt very deep. You guys had contributions across the board. Well, what was your impression on this team and just, you know, kind of your sense of how much fun it was to be part of it?
Yeah. I mean, I think Pleiades has a really, really special culture. And I'm sure everyone thinks their team has a special culture, but of all the teams I've played on, Pleiades is just the most tight-knit, the most supportive. We hang out with each other like almost every day because we're all so close. We all live really close. And I would totally agree with you that our play style kind of mirrors that. I don't think we play hero ball. I think we use every single person on our roster for what they're good at. And I think we really trust our systems, and that's evident in big games.
Well, you guys actually, it's funny. I think there's a lot of that cultural, I guess, buy-in and that whole design that you guys have that's actually carried over from previous teams, because your coaches are in a lot of, I mean, there's a huge coaching staff that works with Pleiades, but you guys actually have UNC alumni that are mostly coaching your team. You got Jesse Jones and you've got Lindsay Sue, who both have stepped in and done a great job of creating this, I think, you know, kind of that buy-in and that same culture that carries over from year to year. How important is that in terms of, I mean, regardless of from the chemistry standpoint and just having a good team, but how important is that from a year-to-year basis? This year, you guys made a run to the semifinals and were super competitive across the board, the number one seed heading into the tournament. How important is that is to that to on-field success?
Yeah, I think the team culture is hugely important. And it's definitely something that as a leader over the past 2 years, I have, me and my co-captains have intentionally built. We work hard to keep our traditions and to instill that culture in the incoming class. We practice relentless positivity, relentless support, and it really shows. And on teams that I've been on that don't intentionally make that culture a part of practice and a part of the way the leadership speaks to the team, you can tell. And sometimes it seems silly to put such an emphasis on culture and on kindness, but really when those tough games come and when those really hard trust moments like appear in a point, I think you can tell with this team.
I'm curious. I know we've already talked about, you know, a lot of the team stuff. We're talking about how important the culture is. We got to give you a little bit of props here because you were named the UltiWorld Offensive Player of the Year. You had a great season. What is it like to know that at the end of the year you get that kind of recognition?
That's funny. I mean, it feels good. I'm not going to lie. Like, I do. It feels good to get recognized. But I also think it's really neat that I'm just like a cog in our system, and our system works really, really smoothly. I am blessed to get to do what I want on Pleiades, which is just cut really hard downfield and be a receiver for great throwers. And I think it's a testament to our team that even without me racking up crazy stats as like the only person that catches goals or the only person that throws goals, we get that recognition. Pleiades gets that recognition as having a great offense. And a lot of the other, like a lot of other award winners, I feel like are really like the player on their team. And I don't feel like that on Pleiades. And I think that is a huge testament to our system and to our team.
And let's talk about the fact that I know you said, oh, you like being the cutter downfield, playing with great handlers. You're a pretty good thrower in your own right. We got a chance to see that on full display when you got a chance to play with the Raleigh Radiants this year. Very fun season. You guys made a run to the finals at championship weekend. What was it like being in that atmosphere for championship weekend, having the stands packed and being there, especially given what that semifinal game was, which was a double overtime sudden death finish?
Wow. Yeah. I loved the PUL and I loved that weekend. I think it's really fun to play in front of a crowd. I like all the aspects of Ultimate that are kind of showy and fun. I love watching players who like spike the disc and get excited. And there's a lot of players that I have that have been role models for me in that way. And in some ways, like Championship Weekend was the first time, or really the whole PUL season, but as a culmination, Championship Weekend was the first time I got an opportunity to be on that stage and be that player. And I thought it was just really, really fun. And the competition was great. The spirit was great. And yeah, you can't get better than that semifinal. Nobody knew until the last second who was going to win that game. And that was amazing.
Oh, it was absolutely incredible. It seemed like, and I know, I'm sure there was a bit of a heart attack that happened on the Raleigh sideline after you guys saw the final throw go up and New York forced overtime, but still you guys managed to pull it out and then ended up taking on Revolution, who ended up going on to win this inaugural PUL title. But this was a really strong team. I think you had a chance to see a number of players from this Raleigh area, the Triangle area, get together and play. What was it like being part of essentially a Raleigh All-Star team? I know the club scene is different, but it wasn't just Phoenix. It wasn't just the Phoenix club team that then got pulled over and put into the PUL. This was a bit of a different collection of talent.
Yeah, I mean, it was really amazing to be able to play with players like Sarah Dieter and Simone Whale, and obviously LP. It was different than club, just like you said, and that made it so much more special. But also, I had the chemistry of my years on Phoenix, and we got Lindsay Suback, which was amazing. The PUL just felt different than club. It felt new and fresh and exciting. And I think having that infusion of new players and having it not just be the exact same roster really helped with that and made it feel different. And I really enjoyed it.
Oh, and you get a little bit of credit here as well, once again. In addition to being the Ulti World Offensive Player of the Year, the PUL named you the Breakout Player of the Year, which is pretty neat to see. You just keep racking up personal accolades here. And I know, obviously, this is a team sport, but again, you're getting recognition now at an even probably a bigger level. I mean, this is the pro scene, and you're named the Breakout Player of the Year. Has that, like, sunk in with you that you are reaching these types of heights and you actually still have another year of college eligibility left?
Yeah, I mean, I was really shocked but pleased to receive that award. And it's funny because of all the things in my life that I've put work into, Frisbee honestly is probably the one that I've put the most hours in. Like, I work hard at school and I study hard, but the thing I think about the most and the thing that brings me the most joy and the most frustration has always been Ultimate. it's really funny. Like, the happiest moments of my year are on the Ultimate field, and also sometimes the saddest moments or the most frustrated moments. So it's something that I put a lot of energy into, like emotional energy and like physically. And it does feel good to be recognized. But at the same time, I don't know. I feel like those types of awards, and in a sport like this that's so small, it's hard to put too much weight on them. But yeah, I won't say I'm not glad to be recognized.
And that's a nice way for you to cap off what is the first year of the PUL. I'm curious to know from your perspective, what's the impact? Like, what impact did this have on the overall Ultimate scene? How did the PUL really impact the overall Ultimate community after just its first year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I do think it brought a lot more visibility to the players in my area. I mean, like, all over the country, but I especially notice it in the area. Those like highlight videos that are released by the PUL, the press released, having the game streamed live. I know a lot more people have like watched me and my teammates play than have ever watched us before. And that publicity really like has impacted our area. I feel like people know our names more than they did before. And it's something that I think people wanted out of the PUL. The men often get that in the AUDL. And I really think that the publicity that the PUL has brought our players has made it better reporting on on those people. People know what we like to do. People kind of get to know our personalities through those games and through all that coverage. And I think that's really, really cool and really different than the club scene.
Well, that's one of the things that I love too. I love the fact that you get a chance to know more than just a name or more than just a number. You actually genuinely get to feel a little bit of the personality of these players. And I think that's absolutely true. I mean, we got a chance to really see a lot of players that maybe we didn't know about previously from across the country. You know, it was a really good first year introducing us to players. Like, I'll admit, I didn't know too well who Sarah Dieter was before getting a chance to watch her tear stuff up at championship weekend. It was really cool to get that type of introduction to a player who clearly is really talented, but just had not been given the stage or the limelight previously, where her name is now known on a national stage. And I think, you know, if you follow that and you watch championship weekend, you now know who Sarah Dieter's name is, no question. So that type of thing is really neat. I think that's one of the best functions of the PUL so far. But being a player and being in it, you obviously have a very unique perspective comparative to the rest of the Ultimate community. What's next? What's the next step for the PUL to take?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I want to see more games. I want to see games against more diverse competition. And I know all of that is like logistically difficult and requires like a lot more money and more travel and everything. Like Radiance only had one travel weekend, and we drove all of it. I mean, besides championship weekend, but we only had one regular season travel weekend.
Sure.
And so I don't know how feasible it is, but next year in the PUL, I would love to play teams from the West Coast, people from the middle of the country. I would love more televised games. I love watching the PUL. yeah, so that's where I see it going. I also just want to give like huge props to everyone who's involved in organizing it, because I know making those highlight reels and making those player profiles is just an incredible amount of work. And those people just took it upon themselves to provide my community with the same amount of visibility that the men in my community get. And that's really amazing.
Yeah, it's a huge first step, and I don't think the PUL is done by any means in terms of tackling things that they want to accomplish in the future. We actually saw a lot of West Coast kind of, not quite pro teams, I guess they were kind of similar in the style. We saw a couple teams up on the West in the Northwest, a couple teams down in Southern California, and I think the potential for the league to expand is there. You know, how quickly that happens remains to be seen, but I'm excited for it too. I think that's a very realistic thing. And there is a difference when, going back to what you said before about you having more people watch your games than ever before. And I think there is something to that. And it's for whatever reason, it's having the pro designation attached to it. As soon as you put pro in front of it, a lot of people view that as being more legitimate. And you might get casual fans or some family members or whatever it is who probably wouldn't regularly tune in to watch you play a club game that all of a sudden now might be interested in seeing you play because, hey, it's considered professional. There's also something different about being in that stadium atmosphere. I know that's something that has been talked about a lot ever since we had those crazy indoor championship games for the World Ultimate Club Championships last year. I think that's something that can't be understated, that impact that it has on the sport. It is really interesting to see that for whatever reason, as soon as the word pro gets attached to it, that it tends to draw in some more casual fans or more fans right on the periphery who know what Ultimate is but might not be huge fans or might not know a ton about it, but they're all of a sudden way more inclined to watch as soon as they hear that it's a professional league.
Yeah, I've actually had a lot of fun like telling my classmates or Facebook friends that I'm like a semi-pro athlete. And, you know, even if it's, I don't know, it's not that different from club, but I totally agree that just the name and putting it in that category helps people kind of think of Ultimate in a slightly more legitimate way. And I love that. Like, the more we can do that, the more I want to do that. So yeah, it's definitely been fun to kind of spread the word about the PUL to my non-Ultimate community friends.
And absolutely. I think it's there is no doubt that the PUL has definitely filled a pretty significant void that was created in the Ultimate community. I mean, we've had the AUDL now for, I believe this is his eighth season. And so, you know, for the first 7 years, that meant there was no women's equivalent. And last year there was kind of, you know, there was the start of this whole process. I think it was like the precursor to the PUL. There was a couple of teams, some of them partnered with AUDL franchises. But, I mean, this is a huge gap that was created when the AUDL started up and is being filled. And obviously, no, we're not there yet. The AUDL has 21 teams. The PUL has 8, I believe. So, you know, the room for growth is there, and it will take time, but I think we've already seen the Ultimate community is willing to support it, and it seems like even though some of those on the, you know, kind of on the outside of the Ultimate community, or what you would think of as the traditional Ultimate community, are interested in supporting it as well. It's a very positive thing, and I think there's a lot more to come from this. We could talk about this probably for like an hour, so let's take a step back, and I actually want to talk to you a little bit more, too, about the gold medal you just won out in Heidelberg, Germany. So congratulations, you won a gold medal playing with the U24 mixed team in what was a very fun tournament to watch. You guys took home the gold, and overall looked pretty convincing doing so. It was a very, very strong showing from the United States in the mixed division. Before we talk about some of the fun aspects of obviously winning a gold medal and winning a world championship, what is it like trying to find chemistry and figure out what your teammates like to do, what they're comfortable doing, when you have so little time to prep with them? I know you guys got a chance to run some training camps in the days leading up to the actual tournament out in Germany, but other than a time or two meeting in the States, this is really just an all-star team that gets thrown together and tries to figure it out kind of as it goes along.
Yeah, that's very true. I actually think it was easier than I expected to find chemistry with these players, mostly just because everyone can do everything.
Fair enough.
Right. Like, of course, people have specific skills that they love to do and that they're better at. But I mean, as soon as people figured out that I really like to cut deep, they would just throw it to me deep when I put my head down and ran there. So I don't know. It definitely took some time to figure out how fast each other were and where we like to catch the disc and what our favorite break throw was and that type of thing. But we did do a lot of groundwork going into the week. A lot of talking beforehand, a lot of getting to know each other on a personal level before we actually got a chance to meet in person. And I do think that all of that helped. I also watched a good amount of film of the people that I was going to be playing with. So that helped me kind of gain a little bit of knowledge about what they like to do on the field. I also want to say that the coaches did a great job of preparing us with a pretty strict system. So once everyone had studied the system and knew where the next look should be, that chemistry kind of came easily because there's always a right look. There's always the right cut. And, you know, sometimes you have to deviate and you have to just make things work. But for the most part, I knew where I was supposed to be cutting. I knew where the throw was supposed to be coming from. And so when everyone can throw everything, you know, it just kind of works out.
I'm curious to know, this is, like I said, a collection of all-star talent. And you know, kudos to the coaching staff and to all of you for making it work in what is limited time to put together a team. You know, you can have a collection of individuals. Doesn't necessarily mean it's a championship-winning team until you guys find the chemistry and the system that works for you. But who is the player that you enjoyed playing with the most that maybe you hadn't gotten a chance to play with before? I know on the you know, UNC kind of side of things, you had Mary Rippey, who's your own college teammate. And then there was a couple of dark side players as well. You had Maku Johannes and Liam Searles-Bowes. But then you also had some absolute standouts like Anna Thompson. And of course, you had Lindsay McKenna. And you get Julia Kwasnik, Mike Ng from Pittsburgh. You get Brett Grammon from Massachusetts. I mean, this was an all-star studded cast that you had a chance to play with. Who was the player that you were most excited to take the field with that maybe you hadn't gotten a chance to before?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I actually really liked playing with Kyle Rutledge.
Northwestern, right?
Yeah, he was somebody that I didn't know really before going into the experience. But he's just a great thrower, a really selfless player. Always going to the right place, always giving you a good option. I also really liked playing with Rocco. And I mean, that's just like a couple. Lindsay McKenna was also very, very fun to play with. She can literally do it all, cut under, cut deep, throw it deep. But yeah, those are probably the highlights. We played pretty strictly in our O-line, D-line sets.
Okay.
So unfortunately, I didn't really get a chance to play with Michael and Anna too much. But they were definitely some people that I loved watching. And when I did get a chance to play with them, it was really, really fun.
I mean, it's an incredible group. I mean, essentially, you take the top players from across the college division and put them all on the same team. So it's really, really fun to see from the spectator's point of view. And I'm sure it's even more fun to be a part of. So has it sunk in yet that you are a world champion?
That's funny. I feel like more than anything, I'm just missing the experience. It's true that coming home was really hard. The post-Worlds depression is real. yeah, I miss just like getting to hang out with all of those amazing people and play Ultimate every day in a beautiful country. I don't know if it's sunk in that I'm a gold medalist. I don't know. It sounds bad to say it, but I think the expectation from the United States is to win.
Oh, it absolutely is.
You know, it's not that we took it for granted, but at the same time, it would have felt really bad not to win. And so it's definitely like gave myself a pat on the back. Like we did it. We held that mantle for the United States, but more than anything, I'm just sad that the experience is over.
Oh, which is understandable. I mean, it's one of those things. I like that, actually, the term that you used, the post world's depression. It's hard to go back. And then I feel like the toughest thing is to go back being on such a high like you are after winning a championship like that, and then just kind of trying to integrate back with people who just don't get it, like who just don't understand that it was an amazing experience. Like, how do you not get that this was incredible thing? I just traveled to, I mean, for you, you literally traveled to Germany and then won a world championship. I want to know, though, you mentioned the expectation for the United States to win a gold medal. And that's very true. What kind of pressure does that bring? I mean, it's different than in your college or club season. Yes, like there's certainly the pressure to try and go out and do as well as you possibly can. But I feel like not winning a title in one of those divisions there's not quite that overwhelming expectation, or you're not the overwhelming favorite to do so. This is different. The United States always has a target on its back. It is the, for lack of a better term, gold standard of Ultimate around the world. So what is that pressure like, putting on Team USA colors and knowing that everyone else is gunning for you and that anything less than a gold medal is really going to be a disappointment?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually don't think a mixed team in this division has ever even lost a game. And
that's probably true and also shocking. So
yeah. So going in, I mean, I believe that on any team at any time, you know, it's somewhat a matter of luck. Like if the disc falls your way, if the players on your team are having a good game or not. And so, yeah, to know that, like, to have that pressure going into each game, like not only the finals, but going into each game of being like the team that loses the first one.
That's intense.
And during power pools, we went to Universe Point with Canada. So, you know, we were there. We were on offense and turned the disc over. So I don't know, like we ended up punching it in, and we ended up winning that finals game, which was very stressful, honestly. To answer your question about how it feels, most of the games we played, we had a pretty commanding lead. And so it's definitely kind of an odd situation because you know there's a lot of pressure, but at the same time, you know you're on a great team and you know the likelihood of it being close isn't that high. So honestly, I don't think many of us thought about it that much. Like, I feel like we just went out there and tried to play. And tried to play our best and tried to have fun. And getting that training weekend and the training camp in Germany and all that time to play with each other and learn to trust each other really helped with that. I mean, it was definitely in the back of our minds, especially during the finals, that pressure to win and that thought of what the night would be like afterwards when our other two delegation teams had already won.
Yeah, that's definitely pressure.
But, you know, I personally like playing with pressure. I think I play better under pressure. And so I don't know. It didn't make it an unpleasant experience.
Oh, that's good to hear. I think that's, you know, if you can shoulder that load, it's a sign of what it really takes to be a player worthy of wearing the United States colors. I mean, a player worthy of being on a world's team. You guys all have to shoulder that load and know that there is going to be pressure that's involved. And that there's no way around it, that, you know, you're always going to be the front runner, and, you know, you have to find a way to push through that and move on, and still manage to play at an extremely high level despite the stakes. So you, like we've already talked about a couple different times now, have had a crazy 2 months going back to Memorial Day weekend, where you wrap up your college season playing with UNC Pleiades, made a semifinals run there. Then you turn your focus and start really honing in on a playoff run at the PUL level before you turn around once again. And now you're getting ready to go to Germany and play out at the World Championships. This is a crazy schedule. I mean, beyond anything that I really even know how to explain. I don't know too many of the people who have ever gone through kind of this, like, three championship level events in such a short time span, but yet you went through it and you're excited, you're bubbly, you love this sport. What keeps you coming back? I mean, this is a huge, huge amount of time and energy that it requires for you to do it. So why do you keep coming back to the sport?
It's a really complicated question. Well, part of it is definitely that a lot of my friends play Ultimate. Like, the people I'm closest to pretty much are Ultimate players. So having that be my kind of social sphere helps. But I really, truly just love the sport. I love throwing. I love running. and I love the level of intensity that Ultimate has. More than any other sport I've played, I feel like it's a wonderful balance of fun and seriousness, and the spirit of the game, the self-officiating, wrapped up with all of this competitiveness that everyone brings at the high level, I think for me is just the perfect balance of competitiveness and just fun. I marvel sometimes at just the size of the Ultimate community. I love that it's a community where I know the biggest players. You can meet them at tournaments, and you can see yourself reaching that level, or at least, like, I don't know, it's achievable, you know, from just playing league to playing in a championship weekend to playing at Worlds. It's small enough that you know everyone, or at least, you know, you can see them and say hi. Follow them on Twitter. I don't know. I love the community. I love the size of the community. I love how success is achievable. And I love my friends who play Ultimate.
And Worth, lover of all things Ultimate by the sounds of it, really. And I think that's a great thing to hear. And it's a good thing for the future of the sport. It means that hopefully we're heading in the right direction. And with players like you back out in the field, it's certainly going to be a fun entertainment value for the rest of us who get a chance to sit at home and cover it as it goes on. Best of luck starting up with med school. I know you move out tomorrow, so thank you for squeezing this in. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been great.
All right, everyone, that's going to wrap it up for this interview. I will be back to wrap up the episode in just a minute. Stay tuned. We just wrapped up talking to Ant Worth. Big thanks to her for coming on the show. Really appreciate her finding some time in a crazy schedule that she's had going on. You just look at her last 2 months. She goes from, I know we touched on it during the interview, but you go straight from the college championships, get right into the heart of the PUL season, and then you turn around and dive into prepping for the U24 World Championships, and now she has to go back home and then get ready to move out of the house to then go to med school. So really just a crazy whirlwind schedule for her. By the sounds of it, she wouldn't have it any other way. So really appreciate her taking some time and some great insight into all the stuff that she has been doing over the last several months. Looking ahead to future episodes, my goal probably will be to wait until after we have the US Open and the AUDL Championship weekend wrap up. I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff covering the AUDL on my other show, Stall 7 with UltiWorld. If you want to check that out, we have an episode coming out later this week. And then we'll also have recap stuff coming once championship weekend wraps up in just a couple of weeks. So definitely keep an eye out for that. I don't have a guest lined up as of right now. I'm working on a couple different people, trying to make some schedules align and see what I can do. It's a busy time of year with the club season, so trying to respect the fact that people's time is definitely a valuable commodity that they don't have a whole lot to spare right now. So really big thanks to everyone for tuning in. As always, if you're looking for more ways to listen to the show, we are on Stitcher, we are on iTunes, our Apple Podcasts, and we are also on Spotify. So make sure you check out the show. Rate and review, please. It makes such a big difference. It helps people find the show. It also gives me good feedback, which I always appreciate. If you're looking for more ways to follow the show on social media, you can check me out on Facebook, The Ultimate Podcast. You can also follow along on Twitter, at The Ultimate Cast. Feel free to, you know, reach out if you feel like it, if you have questions you want to ask or somebody recommend that I should talk to for the show. Always appreciate hearing that kind of feedback. Definitely very useful to me, and I really, really actually use that a lot. The way that I end up finding a lot of the people that I bring on this show is through networking, through people that I know in the Ultimate community, or through suggestions that people give me as to who I should reach out to. So that is invaluable to me. It really means a lot, and it is really useful. So don't think for a second that I would not appreciate that. Thank you, everyone, like I said, for tuning in. Appreciate it, as always, all the support. You guys will hear from me again soon.
Now's the time to travel and be with the people you care about the most. And at Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express, we're helping you be there for less. Save at least 25% at thousands of hotels worldwide if you book by September 24th. You won't want this moment to pass you by. So book today at holidayinn.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy, the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.